For the most part, we've been talking about remixing from an artist's perspective, about whether it should be illegal for a musician to create a work that's too derivative of another. But there's another kind of remix that goes back decades, though I guess it seems kind of dated now, the mixtape. We're talking back before the days of the digital playlist, when putting together the perfect sequence of songs to give to your sweetheart could take hours or days or maybe even weeks. Jason Bittner has a lot of nostalgia for those days. He's the editor of a book and website called Cassette for My Ex. Up until recently, it shared the stories and the soundtracks to many early romances.
This all started a few months back when I was going through some boxes in my basement, and I realized that I have just 3 tapes left, you know, from my teenage years, and none of them were retail. None of them were store-bought tapes. They were all mixtapes, like ones that people who were interested in me had made for me. And it occurred to me, you know, there's got to be something here. Like, why did these tapes stick with me for the past 16 or 18 years? And it just kind of dawned on me that it's because they're special. You know, they carry a lot of meaning and a lot of weight and a lot of nostalgia. So, you know, going back and putting this into my cassette player, all of these memories started flooding back, you know, listening to these tapes when I first got them, driving around in my car. And it dawned on me that if I have one of these tapes, there's probably a lot of people who've managed to hold on to these tapes for, you know, decades.
Well, tell us about some of the submissions your website has gotten. People have sent you in mixtapes and told you stories about them. You brought a few in, right?
Yeah, we have a few different ones here. I like this one from Dave Nadelberg. He kind of tells us the story about how he'd never received a mixtape to date. You know, he'd always been making them for other people, but he himself had never received one from someone. So he starts off, "We were at a rave in Ithaca, New York. I was drunkish. She was stonedish. Despite our inebriated vision, it was lust at first sightish. This was the start of my relationship with Amy, a short-lived affair that, from that moment on, was defined by music. Not surprisingly, during one of our first sober conversations, Amy and I discussed our mutual love of making mixtapes. A few weeks later, Amy handed me a decorative yellow cassette. It even had a title, Obliteration, the spine read. Obliteration was to be the soundtrack of our relationship."
I take it the relationship didn't go too well.
He goes on, "Truth be told, as much as I appreciated it, the tape seemed thrown together, kind of like two strangers making out on a dance floor." And he goes on to say, "I had to face the music. It wasn't meant to be."
There's one song on that tape, Saturday Night.
Yeah, again, that was an Atomic Dustbin song. And that, for me, that sort of captures the energy and the spirit from where Dave had met the woman who made him the mixtape. It's kind of a classic early 90s party jam.
Well, if Dave's mixtape was kind of a failed love letter, tell me a story about a love letter that, or a love mixtape that really works.
Well, there's one in particular. Jamie Hayes was growing up outside of St. Louis, and she received this very sweet cassette. I guess it's best spoken in her words. She says, "My boyfriend delivered it along with breakfast in bed on the morning of my 20th birthday, hence the title, Good Morning, You're 20. In the mix, you can hear the excitement and enthusiasm in the tape of being young, newly in love with each other, and in love with music. While the relationship didn't last, the tape did, staying in heavy rotation all the way until last year when I finally got an iPod."
What music is on her tape?
This one's great. This one has a lot of soul and funk and a little bit of reggae. But there's one song that starts off side A. It's Soul Brothers 6, Some Kind of Wonderful.
"I don't need a whole lot of money. I don't need a big fine car. I got it.
picturing a 20-year-old getting that song from her boyfriend on her birthday. It's just, oh, it's kind of like a love letter that you save and reread every few years so you can always remember what it felt like to be loved like that.
Absolutely. There's a lot of nostalgia and a lot of sweetness on this tape, kind of contrary to the one that we were just listening to from Dave Nadelberg. This one, it just has like just this real sweetness and enthusiasm that goes with really just loving one another in a real kind of simple and young kind of a way.
Mm. Chris, when you're young in those years, love can also be filled with anguish and, you know, sorrow. One of my favorite stories on your website is from Fiona Maisel.
Yes. This one has the end of the relationship. Fiona tells us a story about being in a relationship for about a year and then her parents telling her that the situation is changing. She says, "In May of that year, my parents announced that we were moving to Los Angeles. I had a party in our apartment a couple of months before, which sent one kid to the hospital with kidney failure, so there was no trusting me to stay behind and finish out high school in New York. Me and John were doomed. I didn't take it well. He took it worse. I was going to California. The first guy who ever loved me was not. He made me a mixtape."
Shall I assume he put "Going to California" on the mixtape?
Side A, first song, Led Zeppelin, "Going to California." It was perfect.
Spend my days with a woman unkind, smoke myself and drink all my wine. Made up my mind, make a new start, going to California with an aching in my heart. Someone told me there's a girl out there with love in her eyes and flowers in her hair.
This one has a ton of really great loaded songs also. Towards the end of side B, you start getting into some Guns N' Roses, Patience, and then you get to Dire Straits, So Far Away, and the final song on the end of side B, The Doors, The End.
Oh, you kind of get the feeling that Fiona and her boyfriend maybe were sort of relishing that feeling of love and longing and, you know, true love.
I imagine they were. And, you know, it's this mixtape just really encapsulates, like, that moment, you know. This is a tape that was intended to be listened to in the car when she's heading, you know, the 3,000 miles from New York all the way to the West Coast. You could just picture her in her cassette, you know, somewhere outside of Omaha, just sitting with the emotion that's kind of throughout the tape.
Right. Trapped in her car with her horrible parents, with her headphones on, just dreaming of her boyfriend back home.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's funny, although Fiona doesn't really tell us much about the boyfriend. You know, I think we know his name is John, and that's about it. You hear that song, and you really get a picture of this teenage guy who's dreaming of his girl in California. I guess it makes me realize that what an intimate thing making a mixtape can be. This is the
end. It's true, you know, it really, in this case, song selection was spot on, you know, he really nailed it. And it sounds like he really sent the message he was intending, you know. There's a lot of wistfulness, a lot of heartache, and sort of the sense of inevitable doom. You know, cross-country relationships when you're in high school generally don't work out for the best. I'll never look into your
eyes again. Jason Bittner was the editor of Cassette for My Ex.